So, welcome to Artists in the City. You're my second interview.
Nice.
And would you like to introduce the listeners to who you are and what you do and all that kind of jazz?
Okay. Well, my name is Complex. I'm a DJ, artist, videographer, documentarian, vegan chef, regular, political disturber of feelings and black power movement, and I hate white supremacy, so I'm always talking about that. So you usually see me around town riding my bike because I roll environmentally in those kind of ways, and I like exercise and being healthy and just raging against the system.
You've been working on pushing your film. Maybe tell a little bit about the film that you made last year.
Well, I made a film. It's called The Healing Wisdom of Jamaica. Essentially, it's a documentary because everything that you know about Jamaica is wrong, from the stereotypes of us just smoking weed and being criminals. So when I went down there, I walked with my camera all the time, and I just recorded conversations I had with people, organic conversations. Nothing was staged, everything, talking from what it was like to be a Rasta back in the times where police would shoot first and then ask questions later, what it's like to be vegan and healthy living, cultivating the earth, and even the connection between Canada in terms of how my uncle years back came up here as a migrant worker and his experience, and how he only did that for one summer because it's just overworked and not worth the money, and Canadian history in terms of how the slaves were supposed to be repatriated back to Ivory Coast, but they actually sent them to Nova Scotia. So little tidbits here and there and all that kind of stuff. So that's something that I've been pushing. I'll be pushing for the next year, and see if I can get into different festivals and screenings and whatnot. So that's kind of cool.
So what has been your experience in after making the film? In the whole sort of getting your film out there, how's that been for you?
It's been interesting. Everything has been independent. I've had two screenings so far, just at coffee shops. I had another one actually just the other day, during of course the storm that we haven't had since in 10 years. So it's little things like that, nature who comes and is you're gonna have a screening. Well, we're gonna have 35 centimeters of snow, so people aren't gonna come, but people actually showed up. So it's you have to deal with the elements, and then everything is all the independent. I shot, filmed it, edited it, directed it. Everything is all coming out of my pocket. So it's my own personal endeavor to showcase another side of Jamaica. So I've had good feedback from the people who have seen the film and talking about how the stories need to be told. And then, trying to make some more money so that I can submit it to other festivals. So really it's all about making money so that I can try and submit to festivals and then set up my own independent screenings and maybe try and get some screenings in schools and different community centers. So I'm in the process of trying to work that out. So, it's an independent process. As an artist, you kind of just have to do your own thing, because if I don't do it, no one else is going to do it for me because I don't have the money to pay them. So that's just, you just kind of keep on grinding and hustling and push yourself. And you have to be aware that you're going to get rejected, but it's okay. You just got to keep on going, and you might not get into Sundance, but you might get into some Mexican festival or some festival in Berlin or little Toronto one. So baby steps, and then as long as someone gets something positive out of it and upliftment out of it, then I've done my job. You know what I mean? So that's really what I'm hopeful for, and I know that I've done that because I've had some positive feedback. So I'm pretty happy with the fact that I've actually produced something and people are getting something out of it. So
maybe talk a little bit about your journey as an artist, because you DJ, you cook, you're a videographer. How did that kind of develop, and what was your journey in doing all those things?
Well, for me, I've always been drawing, ever since I was 4 or 5 years old. I was drawing and painting. I would draw little cars or people, and then I had one of those 110 Kodak film cameras when I was a kid, so started taking pictures when I was early on, but didn't really do too much with it. It was just a fun thing, and I went to school for drawing and painting, and I've always been into music. Like, since I was four, I've been, like, DJing records. My mom had a record collection. So, like, I was DJing at the parties. Like, my sister would throw parties and I'd be the DJ. So I've always been entranced in music and art ever since I was young. So that, I guess that's kind of in my blood. So it just kind of developed as something that I wanted to do because I really wanted to be in the NBA. But, like, I'm not 6'5" or a dude with a penis, so it's not going to happen. So that kind of derailed what I really wanted to do. So then I was like, well, I guess I got to draw. So that's, yeah, so that's the backstory behind that. And I, in terms of cooking, I've always been cooking, like, because I like to eat, and I need it to taste good. I don't eat just to eat. If it doesn't taste right, I'm not going to eat it. Like, I'm stush like that, or I'm just very, like, conscious of what I put in my body. I view my body as a temple, and if you know, there's stuff in it that, you know, is chemically and genetically modified and or, like, you know, stuff that is, like, aspartame or something like that, I don't need that because that's just going to kill me. It's not good. And I'm more a natural vibe type person, like, not really processed food. Just give me the vegetables and, you know, I like cooking. And it's another creative process. It's kind of also a meditative thing for me. Like, when I'm cooking, like, I don't really need people talking to me or whatever. It's like, I just want to just, like, get in the, I'm, like, in the zone. So it's, like, my meditative way of just, like, calming down and chilling. So, you know, it's another way of me creating. And so that just kind of correlates with that, and then painting and stuff. So I'm, you know, I just, I like to, I'm diverse in my talents that I've been gifted from the creator. And I'm just blessed that I can share that with other people, and that, like, you know, I can eat properly, and that I have the luxury of, you know, growing a garden, you know, that I have space where I live, where I made a raised bed, so I you know, I grow some of the vegetables that I cook, and because I want to know where this comes from, because a lot of people aren't aware of where their food comes from. They're just like, oh, I, you know, I go to McDonald's or a supermarket, and it's like, but, like, why is this potato that is from Mexico cheaper than the one that's from Ontario? And, like, there's all these political things that are going on that, like, we need to be aware of, because we're building more concrete jungles, but we're losing the space to be self-sustainable, and it's really important that we're self-sufficient, because if we're not, we can't eat money. So that's really what I know. I need to eat food, and it needs to be good, and, you know, it pays to know, to be cultural in where things are coming from. So that's one of my conscious efforts.
Well, you have like a thing coming up, and you want to tell listeners about that?
Yeah, I'm doing a supper club at the Depeneur, which is at, like, college in Rush Home, and essentially they have different supper clubs where different chefs from all over can come and have a set menu, and people can, there's about, like, seats about 20, 22 people with myself included. And so I'm doing one on the 24th. It's going to be all vegan. It's a kind of African Liberation Month theme, where I'm doing a coconut curried red rice, as well as some fried plantain, some ackee and callaloo, and some sautéed vegetables. And then for dessert, I'm going to make a rum cake, and I'm going to have some sorrel. So the supper club dinners are $40 plus tax, so you can buy them, the tickets at the Depeneur, or through PayPal from the Depeneur. And yeah, so do that, and then, like, I get to cook, and then people get to, like, talk to me, because usually, you know, you go to a restaurant, you get your food served to you, there's no interaction with the chef. So the supper clubs are so that, like, people can, like, actually have a rapport with the person who's cooking the food, and then, like, you know, tell stories, and you get, as the chef, you get to set the vibe. So, you know, I can put my playlist and, like, discuss where the food comes from and why I chose to do that and whatnot. So I've done a few of those, and they also do, like, sometimes drop-in dinners and stuff like that. So yeah, so I like showcasing my talent in that way. So that's coming up on the 24th that I have going on. And I also make vegan patties, and I sell them at the farmers market, the Duff and Grove farmers markets, on Thursdays, and Mondays at Sororin from 3 to 7 on both days. And yeah, so doing that, and then I'm hoping for Pride, I'm going to be working on a painting series art show at the Glad Day Bookshop. So just waiting to solidify specific dates, but yeah, so that's my next thing that I'm working on. So I'm pretty excited. Things are moving along, and, you know, keep pushing.
So as the artist in the city, how do you survive? And, you know, like, the balance between art and sort of making a living?
Have a job. I like work on film sets as a locations person, so I watch pylons, and I get paid to do that. And that and like, you know, the supper club events or private catering and the patties and selling art or, you know, editing videos or doing videos. So it's just a process of like hustling, really grinding, like odd jobs here and there that, you know, pay the rent and put food on your table, and until hopefully you get to a point where, you know, you can be self-sufficient enough where, like, you know that your art and whatever creative process you're doing fully sustains you. So sometimes that happens sooner than later, and sometimes it's a combination of you have to have a side job in order to make sure that, like, your rent's covered. So, you know, I try to balance it out and, like, you know, get your taxes done or something like that, and you sometimes you get a big check and you're like, sweet, now I can stay home and I can work on my art, because, you know, the grants only go to certain people who aren't black. That would be me. I'm black, I don't get grants, I've applied, I've got rejected, so I don't depend on grants because they're not there for me. And also I find a lot of the time a lot of these grants or programs where the government or private sector are giving money to are only for youth between, like, say, 19 to 29, which I think is extremely problematic, because you're negating the population who has been struggling since before these grants were invented. And so that's why you continually need to hustle. So that's what I do, because I don't fit into that youth category. So hopefully with this billboard tax that is coming into effect, they're going to look beyond just the youth and an overview. Because it's hard to be an artist and say you're applying for a grant and, like, you know, you've been working as an artist for, like, say, 5 to 10 years, and you want to apply for emerging, but they're like, oh, we don't really know who you are, so, and you're not a youth. But even though you've been working for 10 years, I don't know who you are, so you can't really be a professional. So it's like, unless, you know, you're friends with certain people and in a specific clique, then you don't get the opportunities that a lot of people get. And some artists whose art is not that great, in my opinion. So I feel also a lot of the art that is picked isn't challenging the status quo of, you know, where the money is coming from, dealing with white supremacy, ableism, sexism, and all that kind of stuff. So I find the art that they pick is really safe. So if you're you know, drawing triangles and stuff like that, then you're probably gonna get a grant. But if you're talking about what it's like to be a dark-skinned black woman with, you know, not good hair and, like, your hair is nappy and all that kind of stuff, and talking about your experience and the racism you face, you're most likely not gonna get, like, government funding. You know what I mean? Especially if, like, you're criticizing the racist state in which the world is based upon. So you just gotta be on your grind and know that you can never give up. And that's something that I've always been told. Like, one of the greatest things that happened to me is that I live near this woman. Her name is Nellie Jones. And she's an 80-year-old Jamaican lady, and she lives down the street from me. And, like, you know, she called me up a couple of weeks ago, and just to, like, you know, wish me Happy New Year and see what I was up to. And, you know, she's been here for some years now, and just, like, she was like, "What?" Like, I told her about my movie, and she's like, "You know what? Like, no matter what, never give up, because this city, this world, this is racist. They don't want you here. They are not working for you. You just got to keep on pushing until that your last day. That's just never give up. Just always keep on trying." And, like, this is from an 80-year-old woman who, like, still gardens, you know what I mean, and is doing her thing and has lived through a lot, and, like, coming from the wisdom that she has, and as well as coming from Jamaica and knowing, you know, the racism that she faced then and now, and you know, being able to give the youth that kind of advice, because it's hard, man. I like know enough people who are depressed because they're not getting support, you know what I mean? And that's another thing. If you're creating all this art, but, like, nobody's paying attention to you or nobody's supporting you, and then you see some of the stuff that does get supported, and you're like, seriously? It's kind of, it can be very disheartening and make you want to be like, why am I even doing this? But, like, you just gotta have faith and believe in yourself and know that there are people out there who are like-minded and do believe in the stuff that you have. And so, like, it's kind of like you kind of have to, like, forge your own clique or your own quote-unquote community. And I hate that word because people really use that to grants and they don't really believe in it. So, but, you know, you really do have to, like, make a network for yourself of people who you support and vice versa, you know what I mean? Emotionally, financially, whatever, you know what I mean? Even just to show up to shows. It's like, we're all artists, most of us are poor, so it's not like, you know, you can expect your friends who don't have money to support you financially, but even just like, you know, kind words and be like, yo, I checked out your website or whatever, and I appreciate the art that you're doing, you know what I mean? So even like a kind smile, you know what I mean? So little things, they go a long way. So it's all about like trying to uplift people, because what I learned one time in Black History Month conference is like, you know, we're not going to get anywhere if we're pulling each other down. So if I'm rising to the top, then I have to help you. You know what I mean? Because like, there's not a lot of us up there. So, you know, hanging out with those stush white boys or whatever who don't like you, like, it gets kind of boring and it gets kind of just like dry. So you need to make sure that you're bringing up your people, because that's the only way we're gonna rise. Because you know they have us on the bottom and they don't want us here. Like they like the system, the white supremacist, patriarchal, heterosexist system does not want Black people here. I've been to Ghana, I've been to the slave castles and the dungeons, and the goal, not past tense, present, is extinction. So knowing that and walking with that knowledge, every day that we are alive, we are resilient, we are persevering, and they hate that. So just know that every day that you are breathing, you are raging against the system if you are a person of color and you're a Black person. So just keep on pushing, because we need to keep up the fight.
Amazing. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
So what's coming up for you? Maybe remind listeners what's coming up to you and how they can get in touch with you, get it connected to your film, etc.
Okay. So I have the Supper Club Sunday, February 24th at the Depenere. My Twitter is @complex, @KALMPLEX. My film is called The Healing Wisdom of Jamaica. I have the healingwisdomofjamaica.wordpress.com. I'm right now in the mix of building my complex website and my Healing Wisdom of Jamaica website. So my, I guess, temporary other website you can go to is about.me/complex, or just, you know, my Twitter, KALMPLEX. That pretty much will link you with everything you need to know. So as I said, Thursdays at Dufferin Grove Market from 3 to 7. I got the vegan patties. I also do private catering. So if people have like events they need done, some vegan catering, I can cook anything else as well. But like, I specialize mostly in vegan and all that kind of stuff. Hit me up and I'm around. And yeah, like I said, I'm really excited about like, you know, working on my, getting out The Healing Wisdom of Jamaica, working on my other archival movie, which is about Toronto, and I've been archiving projects, art shows, concerts for the past 10 years, so that's really the bigger picture that I've kind of been, like, working on, so that's coming along, and then my painting show at the Glad Day Bookstore, which should be up the month of June, and yeah, so look forward to that.
Awesome. Thank you for being with us at Artists in the City.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.